and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, Yulili Wickham Ashby. And today, we are celebrating love. We're celebrating relationships. It's good to be in love. It's good to love someone and have that love returned. So, my special guests today are Megan and Errol Vaughn. They have been married for many years, and we'll learn a lot more about how they met, how they fell in love, and so much more. Welcome to the program, Errol and Megan.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. I love to see the excitement and the love and the bubbliness that I see exuding from you whenever I meet up with you. So, Megan, tell me a little about yourself, because usually it's the man who comes after the woman, who chases the lady. And let me learn a little about you, and then we'll find out how Errol found you and so on. So tell me a little about yourself.
Well, as you know, my name is Megan. I was born in Trinidad. I migrated here in 1996. By that time, I lost my sight in 1991. I have scoliosis. So I have Harrington rods placed on my spine. And at the end, I learned I received the wrong anesthetic. So it damaged the optic nerve, so I lost my sight. And then I migrated here, as I said, in 1996. And I became a worker at the Center for the Blind and Deaf, because the nerves were damaged, so nothing could have been done. I live a normal life. I have two children, two boys, and I think six grandchildren. But I live a normal, happy life. Only thing I cannot do is see. I bake, I cook, and try to keep my spirit up. So I'm always cheerful.
Yes, I must admit to that. A very cheerful disposition. So how would you have coped after losing your sight and then migrating to Barbados, having to adjust to a new environment, physical environment, culture, everything?
Well, when I lost my sight, my last son was 18 months. And I spent 2 months hospital. And as I told my mother, because my father died in August, and I lost my sight in December. And as I told my mother, no sense crying over spilt milk. I have to live, and I will live. Because to me, it was very tough for her, because she just lost her husband. I had surgery in October. And then I lost my sight in December. So she had to cope with the loss of her husband, my two children, and I becoming blind. And thank God she survived it all. We had to go from upstairs to downstairs. And I said, listen, I born here, so I would live. She always liked the spirit I had, because that eased her, as you would say, eased her a lot. You know, so I was not a burden to her. And one time she even told me, Megan, wait. Like, it's I who disabled, you always out. I always go hiking. You know, I, as I said, I live a normal life. And then I came here to see a batch of doctors. And then, well, as my father was a Barbadian, I received citizenship here. And I live here. And I cope. First time I live on my own, I always hope with someone. But I think I manage very good.
Okay. All right, so Errol, tell me now a little about yourself, because you're sighted. How did you encounter Megan?
It was a Saturday evening, and where I was living, the house was next to a very large pasture, and it was around Good Friday, Easter, you know, and there were lots of children on the pasture playing the kites and, you know, that sort of thing. So I saw this beautiful young lady sitting on a rock all by herself. So it perked my interest. I said, but how come she's on this rock all by herself and everybody else is out flying kites or walking up and down? So we struck up a conversation. That time I didn't know that the lady was blind, because looking at me again, you cannot tell that she is blind. I mean, we started to talk, exchange names and that sort of thing. And then I asked her, will you be here next weekend? And she said, yes, I will be here. I said, so I can see you then. And she told me, the onus is on you. And I said, boy, that is where it is. So next weekend, I had to take my sister in Silver Hill. And I hurry and drove back down just to see this young lady. And when the people that she was staying at were going back home, but they live in Pastor's Gardens, I said, well, I will walk with you just to see where you live. And she held on to me, and we started to walk. It was only then that I realized that she was blind. I said, oh, whoa. But notwithstanding her blindness, but I felt it was love at first sight. I just felt in love with Megan first sight. And things progressed from there, and here we are. Many years after, we are still in love. And yes, we've had our ups and downs. We've had our fair share of disappointments. We've had our fair share of hardships. But one thing that we always do, and that is, number one, communication. Two, love. And we never go to bed angry with each other. And trust, that is most important too.
Nice, nice. So I can hear it in your voice. I saw that smile, Errol, when you talked about meeting Megan and just getting so enthralled with her. And how many years ago was this?
That was 25 years ago.
25 years ago. Ooh, nice, nice. Right.
We've been married for 18 years.
Right. Okay. So after you started this conversation and you walked her home, what else happened after you realized that she was blind? How did you feel about that? And what did your family and friends speak to you about that?
Well, to be truthful, I am not I would have to say a friends person. I don't have many friends. So what they were saying to me was non-existent. But at first, Megan told me she didn't want any man. So it was a waste of time then. But you know, perseverance seldom fails.
Okay.
That was it. We talked. And I won her over with a nice dish.
And that dish was what?
It was split peas and rice and a lively steak of fish.
Okay. That's what won her heart over.
That is what won her heart over.
Okay. So Megan, tell me now, Errol said that you did not want to have a partner in your life at that time. Tell us why, and how was he able to really change your mind?
Well, as I told him, I have two children and I knew what men look for in a woman. And so I told him, quite frankly, he won't be making any deposits, you know. But, and then as he said, he brought me this dish this Monday afternoon. And after he continued, he persisted. And one thing I can say about him, one thing I could say, he was never interested to find out, as he would say, if I'm a man or a woman. He just loved me.
Mm-hmm.
When it got to that stage, it will happen. But, you know, it was not interesting that he just wanted to, as he said, take care of me. And as he told my mother, he would take care of me, you know. And he has a very nice attitude. He's very nice, I must say. Because, like, he would put toothpaste on my toothbrush, take down my nightgown, he'll clean my shoes. He do a lot of different little things for me, you know. Always make sure I look tidy on the road and everything else. You know, and as I say, he care about me. He care. And I do the same. Because I told him he's very spoiled and he's telling me the same. But we just love each other. And I told him, I don't know about other men, but I don't think there's another man on the face of this earth that could fill my eyes the way he did. He's just loving and caring.
Nice.
As I say, he doesn't control or tell you they have to do this. No. Things are to be done and they will be done. That's him.
Right. Okay, so after you decided, yes, this is the relationship, this is the woman I want in my life. This is the man I want in my life. What next? Did you immediately arrange a wedding? You know, how did your children take the news that you were getting married? Share a little about that.
Well, no, we lived together for a while, a few years. And then one Sunday, I got up morning, I tell Mary, listen, it's time we get married, because you know you're constantly waiting for money, 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 money. I said, look, you will never get money. Once you start, you'll finish. And he said, Megan, go ahead. You make the arrangements. And I start calling people, telling them that my sister wanted to be matron of honor. I called friends, you know, and I spoke to the pastor after. You know, I just chose a date, and it was from there, because when my children, they accepted him, because even when we visit Trinidad, my sister said, well, everybody even know it was the two of you, because you know, they're walking like father and son, you know, and he has a daughter, and it's the same thing. You know, we just have a good relationship. Just it wasn't anything, you know, here or there. You know, worry and nobody don't like you, and you know, because they say, oh, she blind and thing. No, it was nothing like that. Because he always said, too, I'm the first blind person he ever met. And I told him, sometimes I say, are you sure that's true? Because the way he operates with me, you know, like if something spill, he would say, listen, don't worry, well, I have more where you come from. And I would fuss, you know, and I wouldn't put no pressure on him, you know. So he said, we just live.
Right, right. Okay, so Errol, you said you didn't have a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. So how did your family respond?
Both my parents dead at that point in time. So it was only a sister and a brother I had living here in Barbados. The other two were in England. And they accepted me again. They were invited to the wedding and everything. And my daughter sang at the wedding and everything was okay.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, so that's the start. What about the journey now of being married and living together and strengthening your relationship? And as you said, you had some disappointments, you had some ups and downs. Share how you as a couple handled that. The disappointments, the good times, you know, the challenges. How did y'all handle that?
As I was said, by communication. We speak a lot. Yes, we are members of the Kalmarock Nazarene Church, and we will go to church and we pray about things. Before we have a meal, we'll pray. Some mornings we have devotions and we'll just talk, you know. And sometimes I would say, like, one time I had a card and I said, everyone going to use this card. He said, no, Megan. He said, if you didn't have it, they would have gotten through. And, you know, and I say, I obey. I didn't use it, and we got through. But sometimes when we have a disappointment, now I may say, I really know something. I know sometimes in a heat of a moment, one thing I could say about both of us, we always think before we speak. As I tell people all the time, we could have the hottest of arguments. Errol has never mentioned, oh, you blind. If anything, I may say, I blind. But Errol has never done that. But other than that, with disappointment, something, you know, you just tell me, we speak about it. If it's something, you know, that could be repaired, you know, it's done. Sometimes I encourage Errol because he's a procrastinator. And sometimes he said, look, okay, you do it your way. He said, if that was me, I wouldn't do it. I said, yeah, but, you know, and sometimes I will show him the way, what I would have done. And he'll let me do it. And things work out. As I say, we speak a lot, a lot. We talk a lot. Because then he said, Mrs., talk too much. But yeah,
no, Errol, they said that men generally hold back on their emotions. Is that true about you?
No. What you see is what you are getting. Lock, stock, and barrel. There's no holding back. No holding back whatsoever. I do not hold back in a relationship. It makes no sense. Let the person know up front who you are or what you are. So that is it. And one thing about me, I love to make people laugh.
Yes, I know that.
There's never a dull moment in here where Megan and I are concerned. She always laughing. Anytime you call here and Megan to get the phone and you hear Megan laughing, you will say to yourself, "Eric got Megan laughing." That is true. And that help the relationship a lot, you know, because you're so jovial and, you know.
Yes.
Help the relationship.
Okay. So let's look a little more closely now at how the society views persons with disabilities. What type of reaction have you had, like, when you and Megan are out socially or just out shopping or doing your regular business? What type of response do you get from the public? Is it mainly positive, negative?
It is about 50-50. Sometimes you get a good response. Sometimes people just don't care. Like, at the time we were going to Trinidad and we went into a department store to buy a gift for her son's daughter. And the young attendant came to us and we were telling her what we want and she was showing us, it was a book, different types of books for the age group. And a white lady came into the store, you know, she dropped everything that she was doing and rushed to the white woman. And she attended to the white woman and left us there standing. That had me real annoyed. And I tell Megan, you see me, whenever she comes back here, I am going to shout at her. And then Megan tell me, no, you don't shout. You just let her continue doing what she's doing and let me leave. You see, that's all it is in the agency society. You get some people are very nice to you. Some people just don't care. You know, that is my main problem. How people treat, well, not me, Megan. Sometimes if she is going out alone and I take her to the bus stop and I put her on the, well, if it is a minibus, you know, the conductor will be asking me, where is she going? I was telling her, listen, she only blind, but she have a mouth and she could hear. You know, that's already there. And all,
right.
these are things that need looking at. All of us have disabilities, you know, all of us. It may not be a physical disability. It could be mental. So all of us have disabilities. So we need to treat each other with a modicum of respect.
I cannot agree with you more. Megan, what has it been like for you in terms of how society views you and treats you?
Well, as I was said, it's a 50-50. I always said, if A don't help me, B would. Sometimes too, with how I move, I go wrong. I think I just tried my best and I learned certain areas and things. And you always find someone with a system, as usual, someone pass, but I don't worry about that because I always say some would and some would not. And then sometimes they get a friendship and some people would leave what they're doing to assist you. And the next time someone even looking, you know, but I don't worry about that. I just do what I have to do. If I travel, I just say thank you, good morning, good afternoon. And that's it. I don't really look at them because I say, nobody know where they'll fall tomorrow, please God. Nobody knows. As I said, ever read a lot to me, both papers and whatnot. And something I say, ever they see, is not we alone. You know, that's how society look at, especially the disabled and whatnot. You know, there was, as I say, crying, a voice in the wilderness. Always a voice in the wilderness. But you just pursue and things will happen. You know, don't look down, keep looking up. And you'll be successful one day.
Okay. What would you say has been the main ingredient that has kept you, Megan, in such a jovial, positive outlook on life?
Well, I would say, first thing is my spirit. Yes, you're only human. So at some point in time, even subconsciously, you'll be down at times. But it's your outlook to on life. Because if you want things to get you down, things will get you down, you know. Because
yes,
anything will get you down. The slightest thing could get you down. But if you want to look down, you look down. Or you look up, you look up. And I always try to look up. I always look on the positive side. Even sometimes when you hear others say, oh, the bus driver was this way, and the bus driver was this way. I say, listen, see me, I don't have problems with the bus drivers. If they don't put me here, I put me up at the bus stop, I'm still in Barbados. Somebody will assist me back down the road. So once you have that outlook on life, that positive outlook in life, you'll get through. Because even with Errol and all, sometimes people say, hey, how you manage with Errol? I say, Errol, don't worry me. Errol, no problem to me. I say, no problem, you know? I say, why don't you? I don't want to go here over nothing. This is a trivial. If somebody do something, you say, I don't like it, and they leave it at that. You see, you don't continue on no. And that is me. I try to be cheerful, keep my spirit up, look to someone, you know. Because you don't have some people, when you speak to them, you're always on the negative side of life. And that alone can pull you down. You know, that is what pulls you down. So that's how I look up all the time.
Okay. And Errol, what is it for you? What keeps you so alert and positive?
Well, my outlook on life, too. As Megan said, I really don't let anything get me down. As long as I am being treated the way that I feel I should be treated, that is it. I'm okay with that. I do a lot of reading and I'm quite happy with life.
Well, I think that is one of the important factors, being contented. Yeah, with what you are, who you are, what you have, you know, just being contented. Always striving for better, but still being very content. So, Megan, I know that you are a member of the Lions Club. Share a little about that experience. What has that journey been like, being part of an organization like this, a voluntary organization?
It's a very wonderful experience. You learn attitudes. I learn a lot, various things. You know, also how you meet people. How you take certain things for granted and it's just not what it seemed to be, you know, and that's basically it. But it's a very good experience, you know, and you got to help others. Because as you say, you might think you're the worst, but that worse than you. And you volunteer your services and they keep you very busy, keep you alert. So you know what's going on here, there, you know, all about.
Was there any adverse reaction to you becoming a member of the Lions Club?
No, I'm very well accepted in the club. Because nice. Right now, I'm the second vice president of the club.
Okay, great. And which branch is this?
Bridgetown. For example, like once, there was this gentleman, he was the then president, and he called me at the at work, and he said, Megan, I want you to be the chairperson of the health committee. I laughed so loud. He said, we'll support you. And that even caused me to open up more in the club. Yeah, he's because also as a blind, they didn't say, oh, you're blind to stay in a corner. No, you come here to work, you come as a, you're a member, you are a member. Whether you could see or you have a half foot, whatever, you are a member. And that is what it's all about. And they really support me. There's a lot of inclusion. And once I get there, I'll be back home. You go various places. You don't know, one will say, oh, I ain't going there. I ain't that way. No. You just ask and someone will take you from here to there.
Great. So, Errol, Megan, what would you say to other persons with disabilities who may be thinking, I'm not going to have a partner, I'm not going to have children, I'm not going to have a husband, a wife? What would you say to them? Because you're proving that relationships can work between people with disabilities and people without disabilities.
What you do? But first, if you're a God-fearing person, you can pray about it. But the most important thing in a relationship is not to wear your emotions on your shoulder. Everyone and I could have an argument here, no. And I leave and I go through the door. No one will know. So nobody outside can say, wait, what happened? No. So you just strive with it, you work through it, everything will never be your way, and you have to use that big word with C, compromise. Everything could never be about you, never. So you have to remember you have a partner, and everything can be your way. You listen to what they have to say, what did you show them, what to do, tell them what you are, your likes and dislikes, and things would work out.
Simple. Well, Megan, in today's world, where everybody now, the top stars, the pop stars, everybody are going on Facebook and sharing whatever they're doing. If they go to the bathroom, if they go shopping, whatever. So obviously when they have an argument or some disappointment with their partner, that too goes up on the social media platform. What do you say to that?
No. But even before you speak, you be to your partner, to someone, you think, because words could hurt a lot. everything you do don't have to be on social media or whatever. Everything you have to do, you keep certain things within and work on it. Because sometimes when you put those things out there, you have a lot of, what you call it, a lot of people there will start poking you at you and saying things, and they only heard one side of the story. So they will be on maybe on your side or the other part, and that cause make bad matters worse. So keep things to yourself.
So Errol, let's hear your version now. Let's hear your thoughts. What would you say to the young people in terms of getting into relationships?
Yeah, go for it. A relationship can be very, very beautiful, but the thing is to, number one, get to know the person. And as I said, build a relationship based on love, understanding, compassion, trust, and communication. Those are the main factors. Yeah, go for it. We are all human beings. We all have feelings. So there's nothing wrong with two blind people or a blind person and a certain person having a relationship. Sadly, sometimes it is the one because the person that can see is trying to take advantage of the person that cannot see. And that's where people come and start. That's because you don't know the person or you don't have any respect for that individual. And that's another thing too, respect. That's my take on it.
Wonderful. I think you've hit the nail on the head by explaining the importance of having these values of respect, love, trust, communication, you know, so these are all important in making a relationship work beautifully. And as Megan said, being able to compromise and understanding when, how, and to just maintain your relationship by keeping most of your disappointments and arguments just between the two of you. So Megan and Errol, I want to thank you very much for sharing with me and allowing us to really have a good look at what beautiful relationships look like with you and Megan. So thank you very much.
It was a pleasure having us.
Thanks for having us.
Anytime.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby, and my special guests, Megan and Errol Vaughn. So continue to love each other, continue to spread the love. And remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300 via email, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can check this episode and past episodes on the VOB929.com website. So until next week, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.